Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
All right, so more than a dozen new shows or new versions of old ones, Waiting for Godot, sound familiar, are about to open on Broadway. A few just have, in fact, including Art, a solid B, I would say, in terms of the reviews so far. Others are in previews like Chess and Ragtime and Liberation. All those, by the way, are not official debuts, but either revivals or, like Liberation, making the move from off to on. I recommend that one, by the way. Anyway, there's lots to see, and it's a good time to catch some financial breaks. Well, unless you want to see The Lion King or Wicked. One I am looking forward to, believe it or not, is Oedipus, Sophocles' great tragedy. But this version is set in a campaign office as a charismatic leader awaits some election results, which arrive with a devastating realization. Olivier winners, that's their version of the Tonys, of course, Mark Strong and Leslie Manville star in this one. It opens October 30th at Studio 54. Now, as always, a lot of the action is off-Broadway. Actor, writer, director Jesse Eisenberg, for example, has written one called The Ziegfeld Files about a new dad trying to connect to his new child. This one will play only Monday nights, beginning October 6th at Studio Seaview. That's a new off-Broadway site on West 43rd. And Signature, one of my favorite complexes, is bringing back one called Oratorio, formerly a hit for Ars Nova. This is Heather Christian's musical theater piece. It's actually Oratorio for Living Things is the official title. This one combines blues, jazz, gospel, and soul. It's a highly anticipated return, I must say. And the Always Out There Here Arts Center, H-E-R-E, Arts Center, will present the world premiere of Dimension Zero, a new science fiction piece musical created by Box Cutter Collective. Now, Dimension Zero is a sci-fi puppet, yes, puppet-filled anti-capitalist musical theater spectacle. This absurdist adventure, their words, not mine, offers audiences a timeline where fortunately we all survive. Dimension Zero features a live rock band too. Again, that's at Here Arts Center opening in a week. And bravo, bravo for this. On October 6th, teens will speak out against gun violence in 70 communities nationwide as art and activism come together for a single evening of theater. Six award-winning short plays by teenage writers will be staged on the same day by professional theaters, high schools, universities, and community organizations across the country. This is all part of Enough, that's what it's called, Enough, Plays to End Gun Violence, a grassroots performing arts and gun violence prevention initiative. Anyway, you can check out Enough to see if there's one happening near you. And the always interesting, if shall we say challenging, Soho Playhouse is presenting the world premiere of one called Unconditional, playing now through October 26th. What is the plot of Unconditional? Well, what happens when your spouse wants to take a dark fantasy from the realm of imagination firmly into your bedroom? For two couples, the boundaries of compromise, communication, and unconditional love are tested to their breaking point, and 7-year-old Mia is caught in the crossfire. Uh-oh. Anyway, if that sounds like your cup of tea, I'm sure it's done well at Soho Playhouse. By the way, the playwright is Allie Keller. Now, as you know, I remain on the West Coast, where I like to keep an eye not only on LA shows, but those from San Diego and La Jolla, productions that often move to on and off Broadway. Well, here's the latest scoop. La Jolla Playhouse has announced casting for the world premiere of Working Girl, featuring a score by Cyndi Lauper and book by Teresa Rebeck. Those are two big names. Adapted from the 1988 film, think Melanie Griffith and Sigourney Weaver, of the same title, Working Girl is the story of Tess, a Staten Island secretary with ideas that get stolen by her scheming boss, Catherine. When Catherine goes out of town, Tess has a chance to prove herself with a move that could change her life forever. Anyway, this marks Christopher Ashley's final directorial project at La Jolla Playhouse after 18 years at the helm of that company. He next joins Roundabout Theater Company in New York as artistic director. Well, everyone's a winner in that one. Performances of Working Girl begin October 28th. Now, you know how I often discuss how long it takes shows to end up on a big stage? Well, I wrote a piece probably 8 years ago about movies being transferred to plays, and I interviewed screenwriter Eric Roth, he's won Oscars in the past, who was working on High Noon. Well, believe it or not, it is about to open in London, and Tony Award winner Billy Crudup will star in the world premiere. High Noon, of course, is based on the 1952 Western that starred Gary Cooper and Grace Kelly. And while we're on the subject of the West End, well, last week I boasted here about finally ordering National Theatre Live, and I watched one production streaming, and, well, several continue to play now at special movie houses. For example, Rosamund Pike, a great actress, Oscar nominee, apparently delivers a powerful performance as an overextended judge and mother in Inter Alia at the National Theatre in London. Well, several hundred people were in the seats in front of her, while about 52,000 watched live stream across 680 movie theaters in Britain. Well, Inter Alia, the screening, is apparently coming our way too. Starting September 25th, viewers around the world will be able to watch it. Again, that's Inter Alia, movie theaters, National Theater Live. Speaking of which, I made it to a real movie theater to see Downton Abbey's finale. So many fine actors from stage and screen in this one. Maggie Smith, of course, died before the final season, though they do sneak in a nice way to remember her in the finale. And I read of another death this past week of an actor I did not know, but just always reminds me of these people who do it for the love of the game. I must have seen him in a stage or two. His name is David Wilson Barnes. And he died of cancer, only 52 years old. Barnes' most recent Broadway appearance was playing a talent agent in the Tony-nominated drama The Hills of California, which I saw and reviewed positively last year. Prior to that, he'd appeared on Broadway in James Graham's Inc. and Martin McDonagh's The Lieutenant of Inishmore, both good plays. The actor amassed a ton of credits, too many to mention. Well, an actor's actor, and one obviously loved by many. Again, that's David Wilson Barnes at the age of 52. Another sad note, last night was a pilot reading of the TV show Dawson's Creek. The original cast of that TV show got together, and the money from the event went to a cancer program. Well, the star of that series, James Vanderbeek, has been suffering from a form of disease, so it was really done for him. Well, he had to pull out due to a pair of stomach viruses at the last moment. But a guy named Lin-Manuel stepped in. Vanderbeek shared the news on Instagram, saying he was gutted to not be at the event. Quote, despite every effort, I won't get to be there. But a ridiculously overqualified replacement who would have been number one on my wish list had I ever dreamed he'd be available will be there. Vanderbeek was obviously discussing Lin-Manuel Miranda. Someone his kids, he said, would definitely consider an upgrade over him. Anyway, people often talk about, you know, celebrities being self-centered and not very giving, et cetera, et cetera. Well, anyway, that's not so true. Anyway, I will leave you with his kind, brave words as we count our blessings and get yourself to a show or a reading or your kid's recital. Hey, the love for and benefits of art on the brain start very early. And I will see you next time.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.